Welcome, everyone, to the Spend Life Well show, where we apply biblical wisdom to your financial life.
Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Clear Vista Financial are not affiliated. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions.
Welcome, everyone, to the Spend Life Well show, where we apply biblical wisdom to your financial journey. I'm Certified Kingdom Advisor Mark Trice. I'm joined in the studio today, as always, by fellow financial professional Jesse Hamilton.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Jesse, you know, we're in the middle of February here, and a lot of around this time, people are getting preparing to do their taxes and everything else.
Right.
And we also start seeing a lot of people that part of their New Year's resolutions are to figure out, when can I retire?
Yeah, it's the big question that everybody wants to know. When can I retire? Can I hang this up and tell my boss, see you later?
Yeah, it's always good to answer to ask that question well in advance of when you actually
many
retire.
Many years in advance.
We've shared stories on here before about people coming into our office wanting to know if they can retire, and we ask them when. They say, I just gave notice. And it's like, okay, well, that's what we're dealing with. So today we're going to be talking about how do we navigate the early stage of retirement. What are the top three questions everyone asks about retirement?
Yeah, so we've got those big three questions. And really, with financial security and lifestyle changes at stake here, it's natural for people to have these big questions, right? So today we're going to cover those three questions that we think are the most appropriate.
So the big questions are, how much money do I need to retire?
$1,200,000. No,
that's it's funny that you say that, because that is the financial articles that you read is like, well, you need $1 million. It's like, well, why?
You can pull up the Wall Street Journal and read, here's what a $2 million retirement, here's a $1 million retirement, and that's not what we're saying,
right? It all depends on the answer to a question that will carry over into retirement.
It'd be nice if there was a one-size-fits-all
and there's not.
Answer.
There's not. Every person's unique. What one person can retire on $300,000 and their Social Security, another one might need
millions.
$2 million.
Yeah.
It just depends on your individual situation. But here's where you start. If you come in and ask us, how much money do I need to retire? I'm going to ask you, well, what are you spending right now? What are your current expenses?
So the baseline of a really good financial plan is your current expenses. So we're talking about monthly expenses, annual expenses, taxes, not necessarily income taxes, but property taxes and other taxes that you have to pay sometimes out of pocket.
And so why is that important? Well, it's important because you're not going to create a retirement budget without knowing what you're spending now, because more than likely, you're not going to change your habits very much.
No.
Right? Everybody swears they will, right? They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to stop doing that. It's like, yeah, right. If you can't do it now, just like we were talking weeks ago about giving, if you're not giving early in life, you're not going to be giving later in life when you supposedly have money or more money. So we got to consider these things. You know, we can send you a sample spending plan.
Yeah, if you're struggling with that, we'd love to send you our copy of that. We send it to every financial planning client, whether they're perfect budgeter or they have no idea how much they spend. Send us an email or a text or a call. We'd love to send that your way.
And I think another question that, part of that question, how much do I need to retire? A lot of people forget about inflation and the cost of living.
Yeah.
Depending on where you decide to retire, you may stay in where you are now, or you may move to another city to retire. The cost of living is going to change over time.
And absolutely.
We try to teach people this in our seminars and our workshops that we do, because inflation will erode your purchasing power over time.
Mm-hmm. If your money's not growing, you're losing that battle. I was listening to a country song earlier that was about, I wish my dollar was worth more, because $50,000 today is not the same as in 20 years.
We should have used that as the theme song for the day. Because we've all seen inflation go up quite a bit in the last few years.
Yes, and we're feeling it.
Inflation doesn't generally go down, except when we have times of deflation, then we got a whole sort of another set of problems to deal with if that happens.
And you might have a pension or something, and it's a really important factor if that's inflation adjusted over time or not.
Right. And most pensions for, like, say, teachers or state workers, they do not get updated or increased because of inflation.
Right.
Educators, I know in the last 50 years, they've probably had maybe four cost of living adjustments.
That's not cool at all.
If that, and so that's important. So you got to remember inflation. The second part of this is, how long are you going to live?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a married couple, if I want the wives to listen here because this is real important. If you want to know how long your husband is going to live, just ask him. They've already figured it out. We joke about it here in the office because they know exactly when they're going to die. Right. Now, they're never right, but for some reason, the fellas, no reason, we're not trying to pick on the fellas, but with some reason, they tend to know how long they're going to live.
Right. So they come in and we run the Social Security numbers and they want to know the break-even day, the day and the hour, the minute. And we're like, well.
And some of them will say, well, I'm not going to live that long. How do you know that? Well, my daddy passed away at this age. My brother passed away at this age. Therefore, I'm going to die on July the 2nd, 2025. And we don't know. We don't know when the good Lord is going to call us home in that situation. So we have to act, and you have to act as you're preparing to retire, that you're going to live a long, long time.
That's right.
And then the final part of this question of how much do I need to retire is going to revolve around what's your lifestyle?
Exactly. So we see a lot of people that think that they're spending quite a bit less than they bring in, and that's great if you are, but it can get dangerous if your income is cut in half in retirement and you got used to that lifestyle.
Exactly. Well, for example, when you lose a spouse, they're going to lose that lower amount of Social Security.
Yeah.
That's a big shock that folks, we don't want to, we want to help you plan and prepare for. So what's the second question that people should be asking about retirement?
When should I start planning?
When should you start planning? Yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? We get a lot of people that come see us in their mid to late 50s thinking they're going to retire in their 60s.
Hopefully they've been saving.
Yes, hopefully they've been saving. And many of them have. Mm-hmm. They've been saving in their workplace 401k or something like that. But the reality is we should start planning for retirement as soon as possible, like in your 20s, no later than your 30s. Now, for someone that's a 20-year-old listening to this podcast is probably saying, yeah, well, that's a long ways away. But the reality is the sooner you start, the more your money will compound and grow.
Yeah, so that's kind of our first point. Subpoint here is compound interest. It's a magical thing. The earlier you start, the exponentially more compound interest you'll have later on.
I was talking to my boys, my two teenage sons that are working and trying to get them to open a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And show them an example. It's like, hey, if you just contributed this $50 or so every month for the next 40 years, and they're like, 40, that's old, right? 40 years. And it showed them, we extrapolated and showed them how much money it would be worth. And of course, their eyes got big, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the importance of saving early because it will compound over time. And they're young now. That extra time that they have to begin saving is really important. It really helps. But that's okay. If you're in your 50s or early 60s and you haven't done anything, there are things you can do. We're just going to have to do some more catch up.
Exactly. So our next point is financial responsibility to our clients is the only thing we can guarantee here is that it's unpredictable. Life will change.
Life will change. And the earlier you start, the more flexible you can be when it comes to some of those life changes.
Right.
For my two teenage sons that, you know, they're not even out of the house yet, they might get married, they might have a family, they might, you know, do all sorts of different things. And so if you start early, you have a little bit more flexibility.
Yep.
And then the next one, Jesse, was what?
Just your retirement goals. The earlier you start planning, the clearer your goals can become. And you can start striving for them earlier and maybe even have bigger goals.
You know, I wanted to retire when I was 40. Do you know that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm still working because I didn't start soon enough. And that was one of my goals. It wasn't really a goal because I didn't have any action items around it. It was just like, yeah, I'll work till I'm 40, you know, mm-hmm. just like my teenage sons. It's like, that's pretty old. I want to take a vacation then. But reality is, if you don't plan and start setting manageable goals and start executing on those goals or towards that goal, you're going to be behind.
Right.
But we deal with folks all the time that are later in their planning cycle that want to work to try to make up that gap and deal with it. So the one thing that I always stress with people is no matter where you are and what age you are, there are things you can do to prepare or prepare better than if you, you know, maybe you didn't start till your late 50s, right?
Exactly.
We'll help you. We'll help you see what retirement will be like if you do nothing and if you do something.
Mm-hmm.
Something will help.
I know we're several years now past the meme stock thing with GameStop and other companies, but a lot of people think that they're just going to get rich quick at some point, and that's going to be their retirement.
That never happens.
No.
Never. And we see a lot, not that we mention companies or anything, but we see a lot of people come in because they've heard they're up late at night, probably worrying about retirement, and they hear about something that they should go and invest in. And if you're hearing it late at night, it's probably not something you want to invest in.
That's right.
But we've seen people make a lot of poor decisions, bad mistakes, chasing that elusive get-rich-quick scheme.
Of course, yeah. And we never recommend any single security or company, so we don't recommend getting rich quick as a strategy.
So the third question that a lot of people ask, Jesse, is how can I protect my retirement savings?
Right. So this is maybe you've reached your goals or you're close to your goals. How can you protect all your hard work?
Well, first of all, we want to make sure that you're diversifying the portfolio. Don't put all your stuff into the company stock if you have that in your plan somewhere.
Yes, we see that quite a lot. 30, 40, 50% of somebody's net worth tied up in one company's stock.
Yeah, and what did your grandma say about putting your eggs in one basket? Well, she said, don't do that.
don't
put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
Diversification offers the ability to spread your risk around, especially as you get closer to retirement. And this not only in what, you know, the individual securities that you may or may not own, but the type of investments that you own.
Yes.
So it could be retirement accounts. It could be non-retirement accounts. It could be things like insurance or annuities and things. You need to make sure that you're consulting with a well-qualified financial advisor or financial planner to discuss those things that are optimal for you.
And of course, an emergency fund is still a key piece of your retirement that just allows you so much more flexibility when something does come up, because it will come up.
So we believe, Jesse, in an emergency fund when you're young and when you're older and when you're in retirement.
That's right.
The emergency fund never goes away because, as you said earlier, Jesse, change is about the only constant or certain thing that we can put into our plan.
Exactly.
Is change will happen. Having the emergency fund gives you that financial base. In fact, we talk about it as that's the most important piece of your financial building blocks,
mm-hmm.
is that emergency fund so that you don't get into trouble. Same is true in retirement.
Right. If your entire liquid net worth is invested in something or in a contract, and let's just say you need a new roof and you need $20,000 next week, you're going to have to pull that from an investment that then derails part of your financial plan. We don't want that.
That's right. A third aspect of protecting savings is just having the right insurance coverage.
Yes, and we'd love to talk to you about that. That can be life insurance, health insurance, and also long-term care insurance. Very important.
Right. I mean, we sometimes see people come in and they say, you know, they're Medicare age and they don't have any other insurance. It's like, hey, I'm in good health. I don't need to pay for those Medicare stuff right now. That's a poor decision. We'll get ill at some point. Same thing with life insurance. Do you need it in retirement? Well, it depends on your individual assets. How are you going to pay for those long-term care expenses, or how are you going to pay for end-of-life expenses?
And, or if you're still carrying some debts.
Yeah. And don't forget that surviving spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always joke about it. We want your wife to be sad that you're gone, not mad that you're gone,
right.
because they lost half their income.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to protect those retirement savings is make sure you're getting regular reviews of your investments and your retirement plan.
From your financial professional.
From your financial professional. If you don't have one, give us a call. The thing to remember is if your 401k plan is in your workplace plan and you got an 800 number, they're not looking out for it. You have to.
Right.
You have to look out and make sure that someone is paying attention to your best interest, because the 800 number at the 401k plan or the IRA account that you have, they're not paying attention to it. You must work with a good quality, we think a Christian, financial advisor that's looking out for your best interest, not theirs.
Right.
Okay. So these are just three questions we get all the time. How can I protect my retirement savings? When should I start planning for retirement? And then finally, how much do I need to retire? And that's the big one. I think that's the one we get the most. It's not so much, you know, how much do I need, is how can I retire, in which we ask them, well, how much do you need?
Right.
And so we can figure those things out. Folks, or anybody that's listening to the program, you can send us an email at info@clearvistafinancial.com or text us. Yeah, info@clearvistafinancial.com. Text us or call us anytime at 254-282-0495. Be sure to like this video and maybe follow us so that you'll get updates for a future podcast that are coming out. But until next time, you've been listening to the Spend Life Well show. Have a great week.